watching Exchange TV. This current series, I Choose the Fruit of Grace, is all about how we can choose to live in the goodness of what God has already put in us. So prepare your heart to be blessed today. Prepare your heart to be encouraged with this incredible message of God's love and grace.
I'm continuing today in the series. Here's the good news. Because we're running on a bit, I'm going to cut my talk in half. Any advances on half? Go on, go for 60%. 60% cut. I'm only... shut up. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to run on, because what we've been talking about is this, that the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is simply this. If you want to see a change in your life, do you know how it works? What we don't do is we don't keep going to God and saying, God, please will you bless, please will you do. We've talked about this a lot, but it's a revelation of God's goodness that changes you. This is what it says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that you don't despise the riches of God's goodness and his long suffering with you, because you know what? It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance, or it's the goodness of God that leads you to change. And the word that he uses here for repentance is what, church? Meta. Oh, I've preached it for about 12 weeks and half of you have got it. So it's metanoia. And what he's saying is this, that the way to see kingdom life coming out through you is not to concentrate on what is wrong with you. That's what religion does. It ties you up in where you get it wrong. It ties you up and it creates an environment where people point out your faults. They point out your weaknesses in the hope that if you concentrate enough on where you screw up then and put your effort into that, then you will be better. You will not be better. You will, in fact, according to the book of Romans, the more you concentrate on what is wrong with you, the more you strengthen that very thing in your life. I was listening to Bill Johnson this week, who I love dearly to listen to. And he said, the thing that you focus on is the thing that becomes bigger. And it's essentially, so I'm encouraged that he's obviously listening to my teaching. And, you know, or maybe just the Spirit of God is saying the same thing to churches around the world. Isn't that right, Bill? Online. And the point, but his point is right. And it's what we've been preaching here for a number of months, because it's what the Lord is saying to us. Quit looking at what is wrong with you. Get your eyes focused onto Jesus and allow that change in your thinking to affect change from the inside out. That's metanoia. That's what the goodness of God does. And, you know, the religious part of us in our minds and in our thoughts will struggle continually with this. We like to beat ourselves down and we like other people, you know, or other people mostly like to point out what's wrong with us. And brother, you just need to concentrate on the fact that you're this, you're that and the other. And when Jesus came, after looking at what was in our lives, he said, let me point you to the incredible work that I have just achieved in you. And so day after day after day, our battle is what? To keep our minds focused on Christ, his work, and let that revelation change us from the inside out. And so we've been talking about that over the summer. We've called this series, I Choose, the Fruit of Grace in Our Lives. And the essential key point is this. You get to choose what God has done in you. You know, a lot of people will say, well, God, make me more patient. Make me more kind. God, I really need today to be more loving. And actually, that is defeatist thinking. Because when the Spirit of God gives you revelation that the fullness of the kingdom now rests in you, what we do is realign, metanoia, our thinking to go, everything that I need in my life has been placed in me through the Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit makes me kind. The Holy Spirit gives me patience. The Holy Spirit, in fact, in my new nature will produce all of these good things because that is who I am. And the fruit of God's grace in my life is not what I do. It is who he has made me to be. I am loving. I am patient. I am kind, not through my actions, but because Jesus says I am. And so every day for me, I mean, Penny and I, this is like work in progress for sure, but we choose to say in our heads, we choose to believe in our hearts, despite our feelings, despite the criticism, despite the negativity, that we are sons and daughters, well-loved, well-called, well-equipped, with the ability to choose to live totally in line with what he has done in us. So there's times this week I've chosen love. Anyone with children? Yeah? You choose love, don't you? As Sophie was colouring in my MacBook Pro this week with a crayon, her little face, bless her. I had to choose love. As Ben spilt 3 litres of milk over the kitchen floor and walked out and left it. Who's going to pick that up?
I don't know.
Oh. I was thinking, is it deep enough for me to drown a minute? Do you know, it's like, if a hell isn't... What were you doing? I was getting cereal.
What?
Over the whole kitchen floor. Jesus, help me, because I'm going to murder him. Anyone? All you parents going, oh no, it's like focus on the family in our house. We would have got together and prayed and got the guitars out and prayed the Lord had supernaturally lifted the milk. Well, good for you. I was chasing him around the house like an Egypt going, if I get you. And the thing is, he's now quicker than me because I'm carrying a few extra pounds. But you know what? I'll get him one day. And here's the point. The point is every day, from silly little things to relational difficulties to our future, we have to choose, despite what the world and what people around us will bombard us with, to say, as a son or as a daughter, this is what Jesus has done in me. And come hell or high water, I'm going to stand on it. And I can choose to be loving with a supernatural love, even when everything on the inside of me wants to do the complete opposite. I can choose to be patient. Remember, to bring patience is not the absence of something. It's the choice to bring God into something. I can choose that, or I can choose to blame everybody else, everything else, and live defeated and go around in circles. And we've decided in this church that we're going to choose to live up and to let the Holy Spirit continually bring revelation to what he's done in us. And so today, I get to speak on goodness, and this is where I'm just going to cut the tripe out of this, all right, because I've got about 15 minutes. Essentially, what I want to talk about is that, where will I start? Let me start by saying this. The world understands goodness. We go love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Because if you go onto Pinterest today, which is something I just do not get, who understands Pinterest? It's all the girls? Oh, sorry, Connor. But, okay, I don't get it, okay? I just think, what a total waste of time. I don't understand it. I've tried my best. Nobody will follow me. That could be a personal thing, but who knows? Nobody's following. It's just like pictures of flowers and recipes, and I'm thinking, what a total and utter waste of time. Anyway, when you go onto Pinterest, this is the thing I've noticed about it. There, you can die in the middle of a million pithy quotes, can't you? Motivational posters up to your oxters and quotes about doing good. They're everywhere, and it does my head. And I think if we were even to do 1% of what's on Pinterest, the world would be like Kumbaya land. Now, here's the point. I love the truth of it. I love the fact that, you know, when people put this stuff up, whether or not you like it or not, it's true. The world understands goodness. It's innate in us. We were made for goodness, we were made for love, and we were made for compassion. We could spend days just talking about normal people. Let's forget Christians for the moment, okay? This is not a Jesus talk right now. Have a look around you. There are thousands, millions of people doing incredibly good stuff in the world today. Think of the organizations. Think of the who work in relief and health and poverty, education, social care. Think about the billions of individuals around the world pouring their lives out for their family. We understand there's incredible goodness in this world. Despite the fact that what we see coming through the papers and coming through the news at the minute is horrific, there's an incredible amount of goodness. And I love that. I love to see people behaving altruistically. I love to see the effects of it. And the bottom line is this. See, if you're starving, it doesn't really matter whether it's a Christian hand who feeds you or somebody who doesn't know Jesus. If you're starving, you just need fed. Isn't that right? So let's not be all super spooky at the outset this morning and go, well, this is just about the goodness of the Lord. We're going to talk about that. But the point is, whenever you see need and you meet it, whenever you see, and I'm talking to the Romania people here this morning, whenever you do something which brings benefit and value to somebody else's life, it's incredible to have that positive effect. And the effects that you have ring for sure throughout eternity. I absolutely believe that. I believe that having an incredible impact and making a difference reflects the heart of our Father, because he is a good God who all the time deals in goodness. He doesn't deal in judgment. He doesn't deal in all of that kind of horrible stuff that we see on the news today. He is a good God and he wants his people to reflect that goodness. I understand that. Now, I was going to talk for about 15 minutes about how goodness is the antidote for pride, but I just don't have time. It says this in Proverbs 13:10. Just let me throw it out. By pride comes nothing but strife, or only by pride in the original comes strife. In James 3:16, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing of there. So if you deal selfishly in life, pride just simply means being consumed with self. Doesn't mean you think more of yourself. It's equally proud to have a little worm mentality of I'm not good enough. Pride essentially means to be focused on you and not focused on Jesus. Whenever you live that way, the word says that where you're proud, it opens the door to every kind of evil work. So the antidote for that is goodness. And I just don't have time to explain it. Let me tell you, I love what Wayne did last week. There is science for doing good. The Bible actually understands this. In Proverbs 11, verse 25, we read this: whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. There's loads of research has been done on the effect of doing good acts and being good. Wayne touched on it last week. I went to read it. Wayne whetted my appetite. It all started in 1956 in a Cornell University experiment where they took 427 married women with children. And what they decided to do was to measure their life over 30 years and see if the ones with more kids died early because of the stress of it. That's how it all started. And what they found was this, incredibly, that the number of kids, the class and the education of the women in that study did not affect how long they lived. Here's what affected. 52% of the people in that study who did not volunteer or serve or do good acts beyond their own family had a major illness at some point in their life versus 36% who did. There was a 44% reduction in early deaths for those people who spent their lives doing good. And what it started to do in the minds of popular psychologists was go, there is a causal link between how healthy you are and how strong you are and how much time you invest outside of you and yours. Isn't that incredible? And so they start to look at the science of this. And Wayne talked on it last week, but if you weren't here, whenever you do something good, whenever you decide, I'm going to put myself to the side and my own thoughts and my own feelings and my own preferences, and I'm going to choose to serve you, what you do is you start to reduce stress in your life. Cortisol is released whenever you're under stress. Your heart rate increases, your breathing rate increases. Over a long period of time, your immune and cardiovascular systems start to crumble under that, and you're adversely affected. Leads to all kind of weakening in your body and all kinds of major diseases whenever you are, what? Pride, centered on yourself. So whenever the Bible says through pride, all sorts of evil comes, it's not just talking about people being naughty to you. It's talking about the fact from the inside out, you start to crumble. Does anyone know what telomeres are? This is brilliant. Joseph Prince teaches on this, and I thought he had made it up. Sorry. But it's actually science. Telomeres are the end caps of your DNA. Okay? It looks a little bit like a plastic thing on the end of a shoelace. Whenever you're under stress, those shorten, and your DNA starts to malfunction, and on a genetic level, you start to demonstrate sickness, cancers, and all sorts of stuff. Whenever you do good, that genetic effect, the telomeres at the end of your DNA caps, don't go into that kind of stress and you live longer. So what I'm going to say to you this morning is this. I could talk all day about doing good and you all go out and go, yes, I'm going to do good and serve everyone. And then you get bored within 3 days and go back to the way you were. We need a bigger vision for what goodness means in the Bible. Because at a deep level in your body and in your health, it will affect you. At a whole different level, according to Galatians 5, you affect change which will ring for eternity. Doing good is doing something incredibly powerful. It shows the upside down nature of the kingdom, which I love. Sure, there's clear physical benefits, emotional benefits, health benefits to doing good, but that's not enough. Have a look at me. I know going to the gym is good for me. You do not need to be a brain scientist to work out that I have not darkened the door of a gym in at least 3 months. Strike him down, Jesus. Maybe four. All right. I am no stranger to a pasty supper. All right. I know all the health issues with eating pasty suppers. Anyone else? Who loves going to the chippy? Okay. The rest of you are lad. Well, you're not. Look how fit those young lads are. Sweet mercy. The point is this. It's not enough to go, okay, I'm going to be emotionally better, physically better, I'm going to be healthy better. My emotional health will be better. Well, that's not enough, because you know what? We're surrounded by knowing what is good, but actually, it leads to very little change in our lives. Isn't that right? Lots of people know it's really stupid to smoke, but they smoke anyway. Or drink too much, but they drink too much anyway, or whatever. Because here's the point that I want to make, and I'm going to make it over the next 7 or 8 minutes. The fruit of grace in your life and what God is trying to put into you is so much more than simply doing simple good acts. Trying to be more healthy emotionally and physically. There's so much more than that. And do you know, as a church, what I believe the Lord is saying to us, we need to get a vision for what Jesus was talking about through the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 about the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And I'm going to tell you why. If we decide today that we're just going to be good people because goodness is in us, we'll run out of steam. If you do it in your own strength, which we can use, you know, that's fine, but you'll run out of steam. God needs to do something in your heart and show you what he has placed in you. And Romania people, listen to me. When you work in your own strength, whenever you're used or you're abused, whenever you're taken for granted, unappreciated or misunderstood, you draw a line and you retreat and you go, I'm not going there again. Stuff them. Anyone ever done that? I feel like I am in the middle of the most holy, which I am, holy group of people. No, brother. I washed 15 poor people before I set foot in the church this morning. Fed a couple of orphans on the Newton Arch Road and got round to church for 10:30. What are you talking about? Let me tell you, I run out of steam at times. When people use us or abuse us, and that happens. Happens in church, would you believe it? I find myself many times retreating, going, no more. Absolutely no more. None. And the Lord says to me, I've placed goodness in you. Because the goodness that is in you is so much more than what the world understands. I'm going to show you what it means. Because goodness is not what you do, it is who you are. It's all the good things that we can talk about by demonstration, but at a whole different dimension. You have goodness in you because Jesus has made you that way. And actually, when you live by demonstrating and showing goodness, you actually reflect what God has put in you. Now, let me show you what that means. You may not see yourself as good. You might know the iffy motivations that all of us have when we do things and nobody else really seems to know, but it all looks good on the outside. But your nature this morning is the same as Jesus, and his nature is good. Now, what does that actually mean? Well, when we go to Galatians 5, I choose goodness. The word that Paul is, when he's writing to the church in Galatia, remember we said it's unsettling and confusing whenever you mix law and grace. When he says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, he's using a word that's only, it's a strictly biblical word. It's only used 4 times in the whole of the New Testament, and it is never used in the secular Greek writings of the day. The word is based on a Greek word called agathosune. Now, here's the point. The point is that in agathosune, it goes way deeper than simply by action. Agathosune means this. It means that by nature, inherent in you and intrinsic in you, you are good. Your very nature is the goodness of Jesus in you. At a deep, deep level, beyond what you do, I have made you to be good. In your very nature, in your very makeup, in your very being, you are the same. You reflect the nature of Jesus. So let's not start to go, I have to do good things. We need to stop and go, God, you have made me good, and I'm going to minister from that place of who you've made me to be, because intrinsically, I have goodness in me. I may not always demonstrate it. I may not always work with it. I may not always even like it, but I am good. I am without excuse, therefore, for behaving in a way which is not kind and good. Because actually my nature, and if I act contrary to my nature, and to be judgmental and critical and gossipy and all that sort of stuff, that's not who you've been made to be. Because the Lord says this, inherent in you is goodness. That is who you are. Don't define yourself by what you do, because I have made you to be good. And this week I've had to lean on that. Not just with my own family, but at times with myself, and go, I can decide right now to walk in line and to demonstrate what God has put in me. Now, the word that he then goes on to use is this. This is why we need a bigger vision, of what happens whenever a believer does good. Because whenever your nature is the same as Christ and you decide to walk in absolutely in alignment with that, and you demonstrate that by what you do, he uses this word. Agathos. And it means this, the goodness that comes from God. Listen to me. If you haven't understood what I've just said, listen to what I'm saying. The world will give you a cup of water, and that is good. The world will demonstrate incredible kindness which has impact. As a believer this morning in Jesus, what he says is this: your nature, okay, who you've been made to be, is in very nature to demonstrate and to invest and to show and to give the very goodness that comes from God. Do you get a vision for that? When you go to Romania this week and you serve those children and you serve those old people and you paint those walls, the very act of doing that has ramifications far beyond simply holding a cup of water, because by nature, what you're doing is you're sharing God's nature with them. And God is using you to do it. The implications are profound. When we had all those kids in the summer scheme a couple of weeks ago, what I loved about it when I was looking at it, thinking about this talk, I was so encouraged that we were looking at people doing really kind acts for kids from this area. Really kind acts. But you know what the point was? Actually, what was happening, there was an investment of God himself into those children. You were depositing more than just good acts. You were actually depositing the nature of God into them. Do you understand why God says to do good? Because what he's saying is share who I am. This is not about altruism in the world sense. This is about taking the very essence of God. And as believers, that's why we need to raise our vision up. When this week you have the opportunity to show goodness, it is the agathos, the nature of God, the goodness of God that you are sowing into somebody's life. And what did Romans 2:4 say at the very start? It is that goodness that will change them. How powerful is that? We've been reduced to in the fruit of the Spirit to go, yes, when I walk with Jesus, it's just like, this is what I should look like. No, there's a whole other dimension. Whether you feel like it or not, this is who you are. And whenever you decide to walk and to share and to give your life on the basis in Karpos, it says the fruit of the Spirit is what you do in partnership with Jesus. What you do is incredibly eternally profound. Because you're taking God himself and you are sowing it into somebody's life and it will change them. The goodness of God will change them. The nature of God will change them. The love of God will change them beyond anything you could ever do. And so for me, when I've decided this week, I've said, Lord, give me a vision. In this moment, give me a view that what I do may seem very simple in the natural and in the physical world. But I'm starting to say, Lord, show me in the spiritual world that this act of kindness is actually going to reverberate through the generations, because I have just deposited some of heaven into this person. And that bit of heaven's going to change them. Do you know if you've got people in your life who need to change? Stop judging. Stop talking about them. Stop pointing out everything that's wrong. And start to sow goodness into them. Because the goodness of God will change them. The love of God will change them. The mercy of God will change them. The heart of God will change them. And that goodness, that agathos of God, has been placed in you to be put into everybody else. That's why I've decided I'm going to choose that every time. I might not feel like it. Sorry, folks. Most of the time, I don't feel like it. But when I look around me here and I have the opportunity to do something, I know that because of my standing as a son, that every act that I do goes far beyond what the world could ever do. Because there's a dimension of heaven involved. There's a dimension of kingdom involved. And here's the thing, many people will not understand it. The people on the receiving end won't always get it. But if you sow and you sow goodness, you sow the kingdom into their lives, God will change them. Do you understand that the goodness that has been placed in you is the key to changing not just you, but the people around you? That's why you've got to choose it. You choose judgment, if you choose all of that kind of stuff, you're not going to see any change. You might be right in terms of what people need to do. You might see perfectly clearly all their faults. You might see all the things that are wrong with them. But their heart will never change. Jesus says if you choose goodness, the nature and the character of God to be good, you do that in appropriate action with somebody, that seed planted in them will change them. Isn't that incredible? I love that thought. I love that thought. Jesus is not just about getting you to help somebody today, but he's wanting you to transform their eternities. Jesus is our example in this. You know, I love when people say, I want to be more like Jesus. There's a sermon in itself. Here's what I'll say to you about that. The incredible thing about Jesus is simply this. He came to serve and not to be served. In Acts 10:38, we read, he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In Mark 10:45, those verses are in there, right? For even the Son of God came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life. So doing good is not just about you and yours. It's actually about following the example that Jesus gave you. And everywhere Jesus went, you know, we have a thing in the church at the minute where there's kind of like this new mysticism and all sorts of crazy stuff. I've been watching a lot of that this week. I think it misses a central point. I think it's brilliant to be found in the presence of God, but it misses a point. When Jesus came, he came to serve people, and according to 1 John chapter 3, to destroy the works of the enemy. I want to be found in the presence of God, rooted in the love of God, understanding an increasing revelation of God's love for me. Why? So that I can be used by God to destroy the works of the enemy in my life, in my family's life, in this church's life, and in this city and in this nation. Let's not lose the point. Jesus came, and this incredible revelation of love and grace was so that you, being rooted and grounded and made stable in God's love, would take that grace and not make a circus show out of it, but in fact would go in the power and in the name of Jesus to do good, to sow the kingdom every time you can, and have a view that every single cup of water now that I do, I'm doing it unto Jesus, yes, but also in that act there is a spiritual power to turn and to do good in that life. That's the reason why Jesus came. See, we can talk about the goodness of God in an ethereal sense. Psalm 38, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't really know what that means. I could probably look it up, but you know, it's like taste and see. Yes, be in your prayer. I understand that. But the goodness of God is not just in an abstract philosophical sense. The goodness of God is most clearly shown in the way that he deals with people, and his nature is shown in you and through you in how you deal with other people. So here's my call. I'm going to finish. I have butchered this talk left, right, and center, and for that I apologize. But I'm trying to get the main sense of what I want to say to you. Here's the verses that stand out for me. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve other people as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You can influence change and impact lives this week. You can destroy darkness, destroy the work of the enemy, change hearts and lives for eternity if you choose the nature that God has put in you. I am not calling for us to be like just another charity working away like the thousands of charities that we see. Our calling is a greater calling. It's to be stewards of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if somebody's hungry, we're going to feed them. And if you meet somebody who's hungry this week, don't pray for them, just feed them. But understand that at that level, you're missing the calling that you have. God says choose goodness because he's gifted you and given you the keys of the kingdom of God to change lives for eternity. Think of those people in your life today who are going to hell, who are dying of cancer, who are sick and tired, and all the other things. And God says today, if you will just take what I've put in you and sow it into their lives, it will change them. The goodness of God will bring about change. Why? You're depositing in those tiny acts. And I don't understand how it works. I don't understand in the ready reckoner of heaven how Jesus works it all out. He does. But there's an incredible, profound power when people like you and me choose and align and cooperate with what God has put in us, and sow and give, and sow and give. To quote Bill Johnson again, all God asks you to do is to give what you have been given. In whatever measure, just give it away, give it away. And I pray that this week the Holy Spirit will show you in your eyes that that's way deeper and way more profound than you have ever imagined before. Goodness, your intrinsic, the intrinsic goodness of God in you, and that is your nature. Isn't that incredible? Probably all of you are thinking right now, well, what do I do? You know what? You know your life. You know the people in it. You know your situations. You know your circumstances. But here's my challenge and your responsibility, if you like, is that every opportunity this week, whether you feel like it or not, that's irrelevant. I think the Lord said to you, what I've done in the morning is I've got up and I've said, Lord, you show me today that those points in this day where I take what you have put in me and I give it away. Whether it's a simple text to encourage, whether it's sending somebody money, whether it's serving in church, whether it's going and making relationship right, whatever it happens to be, whatever act of goodness you give for me today, I'm going to take it with both hands and I'm going to choose to be a person who sows the kingdom, because that will change lives. You get it? I think if we all do that, I wonder what this church would look like in a year's time. Just think about that for a minute. Think about it for a minute. What would this church look like if everybody in this church every day took their opportunity with a view and a different perspective, a different vision to go, I get to take heaven and put it in you today. I get to take the goodness of God and I get to put it in you today. Wouldn't that be incredible? Think about that. Why don't you stand?